Now, President Biden's executive actions of the past few weeks have tried to reverse President Trump's policies in a variety of areas, like immigration and the environment. But so far, trade policies have been largely left untouched. In one of his first decisions on trade, Biden put a tariff on steel and aluminum imports from the United Arab Emirates back in place after President Trump had lifted it on his last day in office. Whether or not tariffs on metals, agricultural goods, and other imports will stay in place is just one of the big trade questions facing the new administration. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Were you in a line of work that felt the impact of President Trump's import duties or retaliatory tariffs from other countries? Did they help or hurt you? Where would you like to see President Biden go on these trade issues? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Doug Palmer is a reporter covering trade for Politico. Doug, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Has trade loomed large so far in the Biden administration, or does it look like a back burner issue so far?
Well, so far it's been fairly quiet. I mean, they're still waiting to get their nominee to be U.S. Trade Representative confirmed. And I think, once that happens, we'll begin to have more clarity about how they're going to move on some of these issues. It's definitely there in the background, and it's on a lot of people's minds, how the Biden administration is going to proceed on a number of trade fronts.
So we have that aluminum tariff on the United Arab Emirates I mentioned. It had been underplaced under President Trump until the last day in office. There had been some political exchanges with that country. Now Biden's in, tariffs back. Does that tell us much of anything about Biden's trade priorities?
I don't know. People are sort of puzzled over that one. I mean, they have different views. Some people think it's kind of a one-off because the UAE, United Arab Emirates, signed the Arab Accords with Israel and now recognizes Israel, and they also so some people see the lifting of the tariffs as well as a big arms deal that went through on one of the last days of the Trump administration as sort of a payoff or a reward to UAE for recognizing Israel. And they sort of perceive, Biden coming in and saying, well, we want to review all of this. Let's return it to the previous status quo and figure out how we're going to go from there. But if you look at Biden's proclamation for reimposing the tariffs, I mean, he basically expresses the whole national security justification that Trump used for imposing tariffs in the first place. So it sort of makes you wonder, like, well, maybe he perceives these imports as a national security threat to the same degree that the Trump administration said that they did. If that's the case, you sort of wonder if he will be lifting the tariffs at all.
So as the trade team gets into place, what do you see as the top issues on the table for the Biden administration as they tackle trade issues?
Well, there's going to be a lot of pressure to do something on the tariffs. I mean, the European Union in particular is very anxious to see the tariff removed. And Biden has talked a lot about wanting to repair relations with Europe in order to work together on China. And it seems like if those tariffs are still in place, that's going to be, a point of friction between the two sides. And there are, the tariffs are popular with steel workers and steel companies, obviously, but a lot of other businesses in the United States would just like to see them gone. And so would farmers, for example, because, other countries have retaliated against U.S. farm products because of those tariffs. And then there's the second much bigger set of tariffs that are on China, like over $350 billion worth of goods. And of course, China has retaliated on a lot of our exports as well. Many in the business community would just like to see those lifted, but they're also sort of realistic. Like, it's very difficult for Biden just to like say, okay, I'm getting rid of the tariffs. He has to get something from China in exchange for that. Otherwise, he's going to be killed by Trump and Trump supporters for being weak on China. So he's kind of in a difficult spot on that. I think he really has to deliver something big in order to justify removing those tariffs.
Doug, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
Doug Palmer is a trade reporter with Politico. He was with us to talk about some of President Biden's first moves on trade policy and what is waiting in the wings for the new administration. Now we bring in Mark Koplovich. He's a professor of political science and public affairs at UW-Madison's La Follette School of Public Affairs. He studies the international economy and trade. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Nice to be back.
Well, Mark, a couple years ago, you were a pretty regular guest on the show with tariffs bouncing back and forth between the U.S. and China, U.S. and other trade partners. Do you see this as a priority for the Biden administration now? It seems like a lot quieter issue, but all those tariffs are still in place.
Yeah, no, I think it is an important issue. I think Doug hit on a lot of the key points there. I think it's not an important issue yet for a couple of reasons, right? So, and the first is... you know, the push is on right now for this really large COVID relief package. And trade is an issue that divides the Democratic Party. And Biden does not want to divide the Democratic caucus right now in Congress as he's trying with slim majorities to get through the COVID relief package. Right. And so, you know, Doug was talking about, you know, some of the rhetoric that Biden uses. Sounds very protectionist or mercantilist in the way that Donald Trump's rhetoric and policies were. And I think what you've seen over time is, you know, Biden historically has been more in the kind of pro-free trade moderate wing of the party, but the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, as you and I have talked a little bit about previously, is very protectionist in the same way that Donald Trump has been. And so there's a kind of a delicate dance right now of we sort of want to re-engage with the world and re-engage with international cooperation with our allies. And the trade war with the EU and with Canada and steel tariffs and things like that undermine those goals. But at the same time, if we kind of move back to full-on free trade, then we're going to lose a lot of support from the more progressive wing of the party. So I think it's a little too soon to tell that trade is not important. But there's this kind of big policy goal right now that Biden doesn't want to rock the boat yet. And the other thing, as Doug said, Katherine Tai, the new U.S. trade representative, hasn't been confirmed yet. Right. So I think the main institutional arm of trade policy in the executive branch isn't fully up and running simply because the staff are not in place yet.
Now, one sign from the Biden administration, there was one relevant executive order, a Buy American order aimed at making sure the federal government does what it says, buy American stuff as much as possible. And I've talked to people who analyze the auto industry, for example, who talk about, you know, yeah, when you got a big customer like that can make a difference in the economy. What do you make of what we're hearing from President Biden? And we heard from Senator Baldwin here in Wisconsin along these same lines. Is this something that has an impact?
Yeah. So this is about government procurement, right? And buying American, you know, when the government is purchasing things to buy only or primarily American goods. I mean, this is the dance that I was referring to. So the Buy American proposal really came during the primary from Elizabeth Warren. And Biden is kind of incorporating in his policies now a lot of the policies and a lot of the rhetoric that she talked about. That, as you said, it can help certain producers. It can create jobs. And a lot of the talk in the Biden administration is we're now going to have a more worker-focused, jobs-focused, manufacturing-focused trade policy. Without a lot of the xenophobic rhetoric that the previous administration used, but same sort of thing about kind of focusing on U.S. employment. And, you know, to some extent, that's a little symbolic because most trade is in the private sector. It's not in the government sector. But the danger and the risk there is even if that's good for some sectors and some jobs, it is protectionist policy, right? And you know, as you and I have talked about before, the free trade brings a lot of benefit to consumers. Most people in the U.S. economy experience trade only as consumers, right? And so there have been estimates from the Congressional Research Service about the trade war that we're talking about $1,300 or more raising prices because of tariffs. Buy American raises costs for the U.S. government potentially. If there are cheaper, more efficient producers overseas in our allies or elsewhere that we could buy goods from. So there's kind of this trade-off, as we always have with free trade versus protectionism, is you can kind of serve some goals about employment and jobs and manufacturing in the U.S., but you actually are raising costs because the logic of free trade is the efficiency of free trade drives lower prices, and that increases, you know, social welfare. So you kind of can't have one without the other. And I think that's the delicate dance that Biden is really trying to thread the needle. I think it's too soon to tell. I don't think he's nearly as protectionist as Donald Trump. I don't think he is going to turn out to be an ardent free trader either.
We're talking to Mark Hoplovich right now, professor of political science and public affairs at UW-Madison, an expert on international trade, looking at how the trade policy of the U.S. might or might not change under President Biden. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think President Biden should do with the existing import tariffs set by President Trump on things like steel, aluminum, agricultural goods? Were you affected by those or by tariffs that came back then from other countries? If you work in a sector that we think about as exporting lots of stuff, dairy here in Wisconsin, for example, or in an industry that relies on imported steel or aluminum, say. What do you think about all this? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Mark Hoplovich, professor of political science and public affairs at UW-Madison. We're looking at trade issues facing the U.S. and how President Biden is addressing them so far. Key issues to watch out for down the road. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want tariffs put in place by President Trump to stay in place? What do you want to see from the Biden administration on trade with China in particular? How about friendlier countries like the EU and Canada? And are you in or involved in dairy or some kind of steel or aluminum production? How have tariffs affected your life, for better or worse? Soy, for that matter. 800-642-1234. Mark, let's talk about China now. They're in a special category all their own. We are in the stage one still, I think, of the president's negotiations with China to get out of that back and forth tariff war. Where are we? What comes next?
It's too soon to tell, I think. I mean, the trade deal between the U.S. and China was very vague in specifics, right? And it very much reflected Donald Trump's transactional approach to international affairs. He wasn't one for kind of sitting down and negotiating in precise detail exactly what was going to be in the agreement. The focus was very much, I think, on the optics of meeting with China and saying that a deal was struck. So the big centerpiece of it was that China was going to buy a certain amount of U.S. goods by December 31st. And that was going to be used as a benchmark for whether or not the tariffs were going to be withdrawn. The estimates I've seen from Chad Bown and the Peterson Institute in Washington, D.C., who've been tracking this, is that China purchased fewer than half of those goods by December 31st. Now, that agreement was signed before the pandemic hit, right? So you can sort of take those numbers with several grains of salt. But there were not a lot of firm commitments beyond some purchasing targets in that agreement in terms of what China's policies were going to be in the future or not, and not a lot of specifics about what U.S. policy was going to be in the future. So my guess is at some point, the Biden administration is going to try and completely reconfigure the game with China and think about what does an actual serious, detailed, long-term trade deal look like. But in many ways, I think that the biggest thing you're going to see is that Biden is an internationalist and a transatlanticist and someone who firmly believes in international cooperation and institutions and U.S. leadership in them. Right. And one of the things we saw with the Trump administration was threatening to withdraw from the World Trade Organization. They blocked the appointment of new judges to the court at the WTO to the point that the court basically isn't functional. So a lot of what you've seen so far from Katherine Tai and the Biden administration's releases about what trade policy is going to look like is we're still going to go after China, but we're going to do that by re-engaging with our allies and the institutions where you prosecute and settle disputes between countries, like the World Trade Organization. Right. And I think you actually see that Katherine Tai, who's going to be the new U.S. trade representative, worked for 7 years during the Obama administration as the chief legal counsel in the prosecution wing of the USTR, which is the wing that was bringing cases against China in the WTO. And she worked subsequently from 2014 onward in the House Ways and Means Committee as the chief trade counsel. She was deeply involved with getting the USMCA agreement with Canada and Mexico, the update to NAFTA, through Congress. And so she has a lot of experiences and deeply invested in U.S. engagement with international trade institutions and agreements. And I think that's how you're going to see the Biden administration go after China, right? It's not going to be this bilateral trade war type of perspective. It's going to be, let's get our allies together and really push that China needs to follow the rules in the international trade system.
Talking to Mark Koplovich from UW-Madison about trade policy in the new administration. Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Ryan is with us in Superior. Ryan, hi.
Hello.
What do you want to bring up, Ryan?
I believe that your guest is being misleading on one of his previous statements. He had stated that by having international free, having a great deal of free trade and a lot of our goods and products coming from overseas, we're essentially driving down the cost of our products and making it more, bringing more value to American consumers. But there's something misleading about that. It's true that American products and things we make here will be made more expensively, but if we're actually, it's a cycle. We will actually be paying our producers, which are our own citizens, to be industrious and to produce better products. So we're essentially paying ourselves, and we're bringing up our own like standards of a living by doing so.
Ryan, thanks a lot for calling in. Mark, by producing things here, even if we're paying a little more for them, we're keeping that money cycling around in our own economy, Ryan is saying.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point that Ryan brings up, but there is unavoidably a trade-off between those two things, right? So you are creating more American jobs, you may be spurring innovation, but those benefits are concentrated in certain sectors and in the firms and with the people who have those jobs producing those goods. Those benefits are not enjoyed broadly in the way that the benefits of free trade in terms of lower prices, more choice for consumers, things like that. So, and that's the report I talked about earlier, a lot of the estimates about the cost of the trade war, because so many of the goods that consumers do buy, if you go to Walmart, or you go to Target, or you order something on Amazon, they're produced overseas in China or Vietnam or Bangladesh and other places. And if you're producing them at here in the United States, the cost is quite likely going to go up, right? So as I said before, most people experience international trade only through that consumer channel, right? They work in jobs that are not involved in international trade in the local or the regional economy. And so the cost to them of moving away from free trade, they're going to feel that. They're going to feel that only a little on any particular good, but they might feel that over the course of a year in terms of rising prices on all the goods that they purchase. So that's the difficulty with trade. And that's where the politics come in, is there are sectors of the economy and individuals who are certainly going to benefit from bringing jobs back home. And overall, for the U.S., there are also costs that are widely distributed.
Ryan, thanks for the call. Go to John, calling from Door County now. John, hi.
Hello. I'm wondering if the Biden administration has had any discussion about.
Oh, you're cutting out, John. Our producer says you wanted to bring up whether Biden would use economic policy to hold China accountable for human rights violations and even genocide. Mark, how much does human rights issues affect our trade policy, especially with a country like China?
Mm-hmm. I think you will. I'm not sure exactly how yet, right? I think that's that broadening the frame to think more about engaging China on a bunch of issues simultaneously in concert with our allies is the way the Biden administration is going to go, right? And so, again, the way to do that is not to bilaterally try and strike a deal with China. It's to get, the EU, Canada, Mexico, Japan, Australia, India, right? You know, sort of all of the other major players in the global economy to pressure China simultaneously and say, if you don't up labor standards or environmental standards or human rights standards, then we're not going to strike deals with you, right? And there's already some blowback on the EU, which just signed an agreement with a big trade agreement with China. There's already some blowback within the EU that they didn't go far enough on that. So there might be scope for the Biden to kind of reassemble that global coalition. That's a little bit what the Obama administration tried to do with the Trans-Pacific Partnership that the Trump administration withdrew from right at the start in 2017. So I think you're going to see that sort of angle, right? What that looks like exactly, I'm not sure, because the trade institutions traditionally don't have those sorts of clauses in them, right? The WTO court is not somewhere where traditionally you can go and say, China is breaking the rules because of what's going on in Xinjiang. Right. That's not part of the obligations of being a member of the World Trade Organization. But I could imagine the Biden administration trying to broaden the discussion and basically saying, look, China's not playing not just by trade rules, but they're not playing by a lot of other rules, including human rights rules as well.
And we'll leave it there. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me again.
That's Mark Koplovich from UW-Madison's La Follette School of Public Affairs looking at trade and the Biden administration.